On the opposite side of the standard, we move from battle to banquet. And again on the top is the largest figure, again probably the king, presumably the same person. Here he is seated and holding a cup. He wears the fleecy skirt that we've come to expect our rulers to wear. And he faces a row of seated males who wear plain skirts with a little bit of fringe on the bottom, and they too hold cups. Behind them is a standing male who holds a lyre with a ram head protome. The lower two registers present men leading animals and bringing food for the banquet. And this scene recalls the Uruk vase from earlier discussions in the course, where we had men bringing animals to the priestess of Ur. These distinctions in dress and animal species reveal that the men come from different regions in Mesopotamia. The fish carried by men signal that they come from the southern marshland, and the onagers, who are led by men wearing short skirts with no fringe, suggest that they were from northern Mesopotamia. So for the first time, we see a specificity in dress that indicates a regional style or origin, and this focus on details of dress will become a typical feature of Mesopotamian art. The standard was probably stuck on a pole and carried. It would be a very effective symbol for kingship, showing two of his most important functions. Musical instruments also figure among the unusual artifacts from Ur. Since it is very rare for these to survive anywhere in the ancient world, it is worth looking at them quite closely. There are examples of musical instruments in the Iraq Museum, the British Museum, and the University of Pennsylvania Museum. The lyres, these are stringed instruments, are large objects about 4 or 5 feet high, and they would be held with straps around the shoulders. Most often these lyres are associated with the bodies of women in the royal cemetery, and so we have evidence for female musicians as well as the male musician that we saw on the standard of Ur. The lyres are wooden with metal and stone overlay. The wood had decayed, but Sir Leonard Woolley had quickly realized what the objects were, and he preserved and consolidated the lyres by pouring plaster over the earth so that the pieces of metal and shell and other stones that decorated the lyre would cling together. The lyres are decorated with sculptures of animal heads, and a bull is especially common. Other shell inlays were attached to the front of the lyre to make it even more decorative. The bull's head is sheathed in gold on the head and horns, and with lapis lazuli used for little tufts of hair over the forehead, at the tips of the bull's horns, and also to create a long, curly beard. The front of the lyre was decorated with a panel of carved shell showing animals and mythical creatures. At the top, a hero clasps two bulls with human heads. And the meaning of this is unclear, but it may refer to some story about the underworld. We don't have any myths that survive that describe this type of scene. The three lower registers show animals involved in a funeral banquet, and they are shown in a little animal band. First, we see a hyena taking the role of a butcher, preparing meat, while a lion carries a jar and a vessel. Below them, a small animal band plays music. A donkey plays a lyre, just like the instrument that we are describing. It even has a little bull's head on the front. A bear stands in front of the lyre, and a little fox is seated before the musician, listening to and appreciating the music. The bottom row represents a mythical half-human, half-scorpion figure and a gazelle standing upright and holding beakers. So all in all, this is a very festive scene to decorate this musical instrument. Stringed instruments were common at Ur. We have them in all different sizes, and they indicate to us that music was an important part of the funeral ritual.